Welcome. We're through Rapture Centric Radio. Jesus is our pastor. I'm going to say a quick prayer and bring everybody on. Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to share your leading, your presence, and your power as you would direct us. There's some of your power right there. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for these wonderful opportunities. These last hours and minutes, we look for our redemption, physically as well as spiritually. And we thank you for this body, this church, and this family in your spirit. And guide us on this show. We thank you today. We have a few here on the line. I think we have Pat.
Hi, how is everyone? Love
pretty
you all.
Well. How are you, Pat? Yeah,
okay.
How are you, Pat?
I have some things to relate. Yeah, I'll talk later about a couple of weird things that happened.
Yeah, there's. I think there's a lot of birth pains going on right now.
Just strange stuff. Yeah.
Wow. And I think this is the elusive Alana. Alana, is that you?
I'm Alana.
Hi, sweetie. Hi, sweetie. How you doing?
Oh my God, I am so good.
Okay.
I'm having computer problems. So,
uh-huh.
Hey, room, hey, Rojo, hey, everybody. So, I'm going to have to be doing this by phone and just listening in for a while till I get my computer fixed. So,
okay.
I just want to know that I'm here. And I've also been in the garage, you know. I'm
there you go.
I've been there. Yeah, I know.
I've been there, but I have a promise for today, and I'm holding to it. That's all I know. And we have Keith, I think.
Hi, Keith.
There it is. Keith, are you there yet?
Hey, Jerry. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Keith.
Hi, honey.
How are you? Love you, Keith.
Love you, too.
Okay.
And, yeah. And we have Joe, and I have a suspicion there might be somebody else on the line with Joe. We'll just have to see.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Sidekick.
How are you guys?
We're good.
Uh-huh.
We're good. So we'll get started off here, and I just wanted to say, very much along the lines of what Pat just mentioned, I think a lot of us are experiencing unusual things.
Oh yeah.
I think it represents more separation. I think we're seeing drama or trauma. That also reflects a greater separation, and once sometimes we get over the surprise of the difficult things that can come up, we can see that they're kind of validations about how separated we are from spiritually, from the things that are going on in the world. And I just want to encourage everybody to embrace your place with Him and your leading with Him, and I think a lot of us are experiencing either unusual or challenging things right now. Some of them a little more dramatic and out there than others, but we should definitely rest in the contrast we see between our condition in Him and the world's perspective on us, and take it as a validation. Because I had at a place of great joy for a long time, and that the reasons for it never went away. But some challenges came up, and they just sort of, in a sneaky way, sapped it away for a little while. I mean, I just felt like I didn't feel quite right. It was like, well, my head and my heart, or my head and my emotional state aren't together right now, and I don't know why. And I finally realized that it was something that I had to sort of work on a while ago, and that was, frankly, not take too much responsibility for things that weren't in my control. No matter how much I cared about something or felt that I was involved with a circumstance that, you know, that quite frankly, probably I used to have more influence on than I do now. You know, I still felt like I was trying to be responsible and do the right thing. And I mean, there were, you know, as opposed to being, say, a jerk or dismissive. And I realized that, wait a minute, that's why I'm not as happy as I should be about where I'm at and what his promises are and what I know he has out there for me. And it was actually because I was trying to be responsible. I mean, you know, I had the right intentions, but these are things that were clearly communicated to me in certain ways that I needed to kind of let go of because God has his hand on those things, and that it's really not my place to be responsible, if you will, for those things. And
I was
just mentioning this about a day and a half ago, I think, to Judy, when I was on the phone with her, and it was I just realized it was a very, very subtle thing, and I knew it was out there, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And then I realized, well, wait, I'm trying to be responsible, and that means it's like I'm giving myself credit for having some influence in the situation where I know that I've been specifically removed from influence in this situation. I know God has done it. I mean, I'm clearly aware that God has done it, but I had to remind myself what the ramification of that is, which is I give it over to him, and I don't try to manage it. And so don't focus on managing your circumstances, and definitely be open to receiving and living in the joy that he's already shown us and given us and what have you. So that's my little pep talk for the day out of sort of my personal experience. And I'm pretty sure there's several others right now that are going through similar kinds of circumstances. So I just thought I'd open up and mention that. See how
like he said
was.
In he said, if there's something you can't do anything about, give it to me, and I will take care of it for you and go back to the peace within you. But that takes a lot of trust. Which
it does.
Which you try to do. Like, we all have kid problems and family problems and work problems, and it's like, Jesus, I'm take the wheel.
You know, it's
I can't do this. Yeah, go ahead.
I was really busy today, Pat, and that's amazing because I hadn't had a chance to read your email yet today, and I guess you sent that out. I know I got one or two from you, but so I don't know if you sent it out or not, but whether you did or not, so what you had right in front of you is exactly basically a reinforcement of what I was moved to say. So it's just so cool.
I always remember that, Jerry. I always remember that when it gets really kind of like sticky, you know, and it's like, Jesus, you said that, and by golly, I have to believe that because I can't handle this, you know. So
yeah,
please help me out.
That's right.
And then go about whatever you're going to go about. Once you give it to him sincerely from your heart, oh boy, he's got it.
Yep.
He's got it. Let him deal with it. Let him deal with
it.
You gave it to him. Have that peace. I gave this to you. If you want me to work together with you, the Holy Spirit will inspire me. If you want to take this whole kit and caboodle by yourself, go right ahead and be my guest because I can't do it. And let it go.
So we've got another caller here. And while we're not a sports show, there is one sports team we follow very closely here. And it's Tana's softball team, and I need to know what the result was last night, Tana.
Hey, hi, I love you all.
Hi, Tana. Love you all.
Love you, too. Jesus, and shout out to Jesus. My team won. Thank you, Jesus, my team won.
Oh, cool.
Great. We mercied the team, and we are in the playoffs now. I won't be there for the playoffs because it's in 2 weeks. So I'll be watching from heaven.
Hey, we all will.
That's right. But thanks. I always pray for the Lord to help me all the time, and He did. There was a miraculous catch I made. The very first catch of the day, I'm catcher, and like the ball Yeah, the person hit a foul ball that landed right in my mitt.
Wow.
So that
wow.
was the first out. Glory to God, because it's nothing I did. He just placed it
well,
right in my mitt.
Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe in 2 weeks, Tana, maybe you'll be a comeback, and you can be a comeback for your softball team. You'll have mad skills.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, they'd be like, wow, it's been 2 weeks. How can you're hitting home runs at Grand Slam. What's going on?
That's right.
That's when you can't love it.
It's called Jesus. I got some Jesus in me. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that'd be cool. Yeah, I could save them. I could save my softball team. Yeah, while playing softball. Good
I'll
idea.
Join you,
too. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And have fun doing it, you know?
Oh, yeah. You want these mad skills? And you have to turn to Jesus.
all the time, honey, all the time.
Okay, so I want to kind of lift things up a little bit here. I'm going to play a song, and then when we come back, we'll see if anybody else calls in.
On the line. Hey, Brother Jerry and everybody else. How y'all doing?
How are you,
doing
Jerry?
Well.
Good.
Good.
Doing well.
I didn't keep it real short here. I just heard you mentioning, I think it was Carol, but had a bad back, maybe, or something.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
She did.
Yeah, thought I'd throw this out there, but in the last 6 years, I've dislocated both of my shoulders. I've messed up 2 discs in my back, and I've gone through no surgeries, but I've gone through a lot of pain, and I've tried all kinds of everything because I didn't want to get prescription medication, so I avoided all of that. But I just wanted to say there was two things in all these years of 30 years of pain that I found that worked for me on a very bad back and very bad shoulders. And I mean, I needed to keep my job. I've been playing piano for several years professionally, and wow. And I was all taped up and everything, and yet I was in a lot of pain. So what I did, I found two things that helped a lot. The only things I found that worked. And they were, one of them you get at most chiropractic offices, and it's called BioFreeze. And it's really cheap, like $15 for a little bottle, and I get a couple of 3 months out of that for $15. And that works really well. And then the other thing that worked very well, takes a little more doing, but it's DMSO mixed with aloe vera juice. And that's a 70% DMSO to 30% aloe vera juice. And these worked extremely well for me when nothing else worked. Anyway, I knew she was in pain, and I've been thinking about her and trying. So I just thought I'd call and share that.
That's
cool. No, that's really good, because I'm sure she's not the only one, as a matter of fact, that for whom that might be some interesting suggestions. So appreciate
your
that,
cheap Dave. Fixes. Yeah, they're just, if you're all like me, you know, you're not swimming in money, and but these are cheap $15 fixes, basically, for a lot of people, for millions of people. And anyway, it might not work, but it's helped a lot of people when nothing else would. So I just thought I'd drop that in there. And
great.
Yes, that was about it.
That's,
so I'll
that's
get
really
off.
Great.
Oh, that's very nice, Dave. Thank
it's
you.
Okay, Dave. Thank you very much.
And for Carol.
Still love you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's cool. That's nice. So I think what we're going to do. Oh, we've got Judy called in. I think she's ready to go.
Hey.
She has one
Hi,
or
guys.
Two things specifically
Hi,
she wants
Judy.
To go over.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Hey, it's Marianne. Thanks, Jerry. Love you, Jerry. Hey, it's Marianne is listening to the show. Marianne, we love you. Call in. And share your, she texted me on my phone a dream she had, and she was wondering if I had any thoughts. And so I read it, and none yet, but I'm very patient with dreams because mm-hmm. God told me he would always tell me, you know, what my dreams meant if it was important. And there's been times where I didn't know what they meant till years later. And we don't have that kind of time here, but I know that Keith and a few others at RCC, they really love to interpret dreams and stuff. And so, Marianne, if you're here, if you're listening, I know you listen to the show, maybe try to call it in and share it, or if I get your permission, I can share it, and then we can get other, you know, people's ideas. I know Keith has been
yeah.
very accurate. A lot of people have been blessed by Keith's gift. So,
yeah.
Anyway, and the other thing I wanted to say is God bless everybody. This is so exciting.
You too, honey.
Hi, Judy. Love you. Love you, brother.
Hi, Tana. Hi, Tana. Tana.
Love you,
love you too. Hey, Tana.
Cute.
I'm kind of jealous. I'm jealous right now because you know how you and I got to meet? Well, now Joe and Katie got to meet, and she's at his house for a week or so. Probably going to poof from there. I bet she's not going home. And, you know, because of the translation. But, I mean, isn't that cool? They get to, like, get to meet.
Yeah.
I wish I was there.
I saw you driving over there.
Yep. She's there now, and she's in chat. And is she on the line as well? Or
Joe is on the line.
Joe.
You guys are going to have so much fun. And Joe's brother is there at his house, and I think his sister is, too. So
oh, wow.
Katie's just going to have fun.
She's
just going
to have fun. And won't have a big house, Joe.
What's that?
Hey.
But I hope you have a big house, Joe.
Oh, is that you, Katie?
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, Katie. How is it? You must be so tired.
Okay, love you.
Hi, honey.
<That's exhausted.
laughs> You must be. Wow.
Yeah,
I hope you'll be happy.
Me and Joe just went and got sushi.
Oh, how fun. Did you guys go to Whole Foods? I bet you did. He's a health food nut.
I want to know, how was your meeting with Joe? What was that like?
We're still together over here.
But was it cool, like, to finally meet and stuff? Like, Judy and I, like, thought it was pretty cool. Was that cool?
Yeah, me and Tana, we, I don't know, it was supernatural. That's all I can say. My sister felt it, too. It was so cool. But we don't want to be awkward. I know you just got there, Katie.
Hey, Judy, I think Marianne just called in.
Okay, good.
Yep. So, I'm on the phone. Can you hear me?
Yay, hi, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
Hey,
Marianne.
Judy, thank you.
Yeah, I thought your dream was pretty cool, but I'm really glad you called in. I really hope you share it.
Well, do you want me to share it now, or do you have something else?
Yeah, I do. I just, you guys, I have two things, and they're not from me. They're from other people. Do you mind if I share those so that I can just get off and then listen to everything? Mind if I do that real quick?
We love listening to you.
Okay, then I'm going to share. This is really good reading. If you want, if ever I read an email on the show, you can email me. It's on my email is on every video I make, and I will forward you the emails because the people sometimes give me permission to do that. This was an email that I got August 24th, and it was from Bill, and it's amazing. When he gets things from God, they're very cool. He's the one that Billy gave us the ripe fruit analogy. If we're overripe, you know, it's not a good thing. So God's coming now because a lot of us are feeling like we're getting overripe. So Billy felt like he got another piece of the puzzle. So I'm going to go ahead and read what he got. Okay, so good morning, RC Sears. I got a piece of the puzzle this morning while pondering about the translation. Many are saying no such thing, yet there are some selected ones scattered about that are sure he has revealed the translation event. So here's what I got. In looking for a biblical pattern, it occurred to me, rethink the sign of Jonah. In a sense, Jonah was translated, removed out of sight, hidden away with God, and then, after receiving revelation in the darkness, came back to warn and minister to Nineveh. This is the sign. I never thought of that before.
That's
Jonah's
great.
Jonah's heart and understanding of God was not prepared for ministering to the word to Nineveh. He received preparation and anointing during the darkness with repentance and received new revelation while secluded alone with God. Jonah was so empowered and anointed that the wicked Ninevites, and he says that's the USA today, believed him, which if you think of it, that's astounding. That is astounding, Billy. I can't think the USA or the world will really believe the warning of the coming worldwide rapture when coming from the bride today. She's too battered, distraught, entangled, and persecuted by the world. But she will find the empowerment and love while alone with him in the darkness in total intimate seclusion. Then she comes out like Jonah, empowered, transformed. Oh, can you mute somebody?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll just poke around and see what I find.
That's your thing. Empowered, you got it. Transformed,
yeah, got
and
it.
Many will believe and prepare, or in 40 days the worldwide rapture will occur. This is getting me pumped up. Those that are saying no such thing are not the ones chosen to receive the translation message. He does indeed have a few tricks up his sleeve. Excellent, Billy. And then he had one more thought. He gave another email. He said, one more thought and a chuckle. This is from Zoni Wilkie. Paraphrase, repentance is like throwing up. Nobody likes to do it. Nobody wants to talk about it. But when you're sick, there's nothing like it. And then he had another thought. He had another thought. He said, remember a possible pattern. Jesus received a foretaste of his glorified body on the Mount of Transfiguration. What if that is also a sign of translation for the bride? Transfiguration before ministering in power. Oh, yes, maybe his transfiguration was his anointing to complete the next big task ahead, i.e. the cross. Moses and Elijah did talk to and minister to Jesus about his final moment. Perhaps he also received anointing at that time to complete the work. And so let's see. Anyway, I hope that blessed you guys. And then Carol gave some really good insights on the email as well. And I could read those too. And so the people that got the email gave some really good insights as well. But anyway, thank you, Billy, for sharing with us. I know he can't call in, but it's really great. The other thing I wanted to read, if I may, is a thing. One of our rapture-centric, I have just read a beautiful book entitled He Left Me for Another.
by Rosemary Johns, and that's our very own Rosemary in chat. She wrote a book. Okay,
wow.
You can get it on Amazon, actually. She wrote it years ago. I don't know how long, actually. Let me look on here what year she wrote it. And she doesn't advertise it or anything because, 2007, but I bet she was working on it for a while. Anyway, the title is He Left Me for Another, and she was so sweet to mail me a copy of her book, and my sister ate it up. She read it first. She read the entire thing, like, in almost one sitting. It's 139 pages, and Rosemary was being hush-hush about it, but then she felt like it was okay now to, because I've been wanting to read it. You know how Pat calls in and does her reading, which we all enjoy so much? I've been wanting to do some readings, and then Rosemary got the green light. So thank you, Rosemary. We love you. We're so
great.
Glad that God works in your life. We have so many wonderful people at Rapture Centric Church. Most people here, their life story could be in a book. And some people at our church actually have written books. I know Andre has, Neon and Chat has, and Rosemary has. And she doesn't like, you know, this isn't grandstanding, guys, so I'm not like go to Amazon and buy her book or anything. But if you really want it, you can. And just contact me and I'll tell you how to get it. But it's a beautiful book about her journey. And the title is He Left Me for Another, because it's her personal journey when her husband left her, and all the wonderful things that have happened in her life since then. So we love you too, Rosemary. And I just want to read one little. I'd like to, as long as we're here, read a little bit each day. It's amazing. Okay, so I really get into people's personal experiences that I know. I just, it's extra special to me because we've all gotten to love and know Rosemary. And whenever people call in and they share with us from their heart, it really means a lot. Like Katie today made a video while she was driving to New York, and Katie has let us in on her rapture struggles, her trials. And see, that's what, to me, what makes it real. That's why she's my favorite YouTuber, because very many people will open up and tell you their life. And I hope I've done that on the Rapture Kitty channel. I really just, you know, I'm just a regular person, and I just tell people everything because, you know, I don't trust people that don't tell you everything, okay? I don't mean, like, every detail, but, like, you know, Katie, I just want to say I so appreciate you bringing us in on what you're doing, because the messages that God is giving you throughout these amazing trials you're going through are blessing us, okay? And it's wonderful. Don't fight your trials, you guys.
Sure.
Your greatest stories and faith builders come out of trials. That's why I embrace my trials. I embrace, you know, them, because it's all God. It's all part of God. Bad is good. It's all the same. If you're in God and you're in His will, if this stuff happening to you, it's God. So just accept it. And if He gives you the desire to say, no, this isn't me, rebuke that. You know, every now and then I'll rebuke something because the Lord will. But for the most part, everything that is in my life is allowed by my dad because He's good. And, you know, the devil, I laugh when people say the devil. I'm like, you guys, he's so scared of me. He can't get, like, anywhere near me. My laugh frightened him. So it's like, just, you know, when you know how much God loves you and you're His friend, it's almost laughable when people are like, oh, the devil. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, that guy can't get near me, okay? Unless God bless him. And then when he does, it's for my good. So basically there's not a problem here, okay? Anyway,
right.
I'm off on a tangent. So Rosemary has had struggles in her life, and God had her write a book over it and travel to Israel several times and put her experiences. So I'm going to read one small excerpt called Nightlight Not Needed, and this is a time when God called her name. So I'm going to start it. Here it goes. Jesus is a man who keeps His promises. Most times He walks behind the scenes of our lives, yet His light shines through. Though invisible to the naked eye, the rainbow light flowing over us at the Jordan River baptism and the... this is from chapter 20, by the way. I'm skipping around, so it's chapter 20. And she talked about her travel. So, flowing over us at the River Jordan baptism and the glowing sprinkle of bright stars on the Sea of Galilee demonstrated this to me. The Lord truly is light in the dark. I learned that a long time ago when I lost not only my marriage but also my best friend. I gained Jesus as my new best friend, one who is light. As the Apostle John testified so beautifully about the Lord, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. John 1:3-5. Then there are the times don't worry, guys. We're going to hear your dream, Marianne, right after I'm done here because I realize our show is shorter, so I'll be done in like 5 minutes.
Not a concern.
Okay. Well, I'm excited about that, too. Then there are the times when his light becomes visible to the eye. I discovered this firsthand through an unexpected, hard-to-describe happening near the end of my first trip to Israel. It was in the middle of the night, tired from walking all day. I slept soundly in a hotel on a kibbutz called the Lavi, the Lion, near the Sea of Galilee. That means Lion, Lavi. A whisper from the foot of my bed continued to awaken me each time I opened my eyes briefly but fell back to sleep. The whisper persisted softly as a parent gently nudges a child to awaken. I was not dreaming and not afraid, which seems unusual to me. As I think back, I was peaceful and calm, fully awakening. I distinctly heard the whisper one more time. A soft voice repeated my name and then said, "It is me. I am here." I was wide awake now, but very relaxed. I know. I knew this was Jesus. I recognized his voice, even though I was unaccustomed to hearing an audible whisper from him. I instantly accepted this as if it were a normal, everyday occurrence. My eyes blinked and focused on the wall I faced. Covered with soft, white light, the wall looked different than a few hours ago when I crawled in bed. I was turned away from the foot of my bed in front of the patio door where both the light and the whisper came from. My logical brain sprung into action. This was the same wall I faced as my eyes closed to go to sleep. I had not moved. The wall was dark then. No light shone in the room, not even the moonlight. The patio door was too high for car lights to shine in. The drapes were partially closed anyway. I remember exactly how I left the door because my shoes and clothes went, but wet from the baptism of the Jordan River were drying outside. All of this logical thinking flashed through my mind very fast. However, I already knew it was the Lord whispering to me. I shook my head and touched my cheek. No, I definitely was not dreaming. No earthly explanation existed for this. Still, I was not afraid. I wanted so desperately to turn around to see the source of light at the foot of my bed. Something, someone stopped me. There was no longer the need for an audible whisper to shake me out of my sleep. This time, in the usual two-way prayer from Jesus, I received the word, "Don't turn around. I love you. I am here." Okay, I'm trying not to cry right now, okay? Ah, oh, it's so beautiful. I'm choked up. Okay. Beautiful. Jesus, we love you. You guys, just ask him to talk to you. He will. If you haven't had God encounters, trust me. Stop everything
you're doing. I'll share something later with you.
Spend time with him.
That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I struggled to be obedient, but wanted so much to turn around. What would happen if I disobeyed? Somehow I knew nothing would be there because the Lord did not want me to see anything but his light. As wonderful as it was, the light on the wall was not the real significance. The light was a visible sign to show me, to prove to me that the Lord was with me. I was glued to the spot with my eyes open looking at the soft white light on the wall. The strong temptation to turn around toward the foot of the bed remained. However, the peace and reassurance I felt from Jesus was overwhelmingly wonderful. With this profound peace, I felt my eyes drooping. I will never forget that wonderful illumination on the wall as I closed my eyes and blissfully went back to sleep. As Jesus explained so long ago when he walked the earth, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice, John 3:10-3. Jesus also said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I laid down my life for my sheep," John 10:14. I did recognize his voice that night. The next morning, I awoke, still facing the same wall. I quickly sat up. As I looked toward the foot of my bed, I became impatient with myself. Why didn't I turn around and look last night? I recalled every word, every inflection in that gentle voice. I wanted so much to hear his whisper again. If only for a few seconds. I walked around to the foot of my bed to search for that sign, for any sign that another person was there. Nothing. I looked everywhere. I excitedly peered out the window for another explanation. My clothes and sandals were still on the patio. Why was I wasting my time? I knew the truth. When returning home, how could I tell anyone about this? One thing was sure. If I had continued sleeping and not opened my eyes wide that night in the darkness, I never would have seen his light. Yet I did not have to see a visible light to know the Lord always is with me. For that night, however, he used this light to grab my attention. This experience, unexpected and powerful, had a profound effect on me. It remains vivid and lasting, a forever reminder that the Lord is there. Today in my life, even though my eyes do not see his light, I know it is shining day and night behind the scenes. we can all be witnesses to his light without ever seeing it with our own eyes. That's because we believe and know without a doubt that Jesus is real because he is alive. His glowing light is there. All we need to do is look up and see the light with our heart. God bless you, Rosemary. Again,
that's great.
It's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful,
oh, wow.
Beautiful. And I want to read a little bit each day. And if you happen to have Rosemary's book, like I said, you can get it on Amazon. It's called He Left Me for Another, Rosemary Johns. So much of it is about her travels in Israel and just about her life with Jesus. And that's what I love. I love personal stories, not like something from a textbook far away. And the other thing is that if you ever want to read in parts of it, feel free to. I don't think we'll have time, but I'd like to, it's a very short book, but I'd just like to read as much as I can. Thank you, Rosemary.
Sure.
And really quick,
oh, wow.
When I was talking to Jerry before the show, I just had to have a quick discussion with him. And right as I was talking to him, somebody walked by my window and had their music on really loud, and the song playing was The Final Countdown, but guess what the words were? Okay, you guys, this is a flirt today. The words were, "We're leaving together," really loud. And then the person walked by, and that's all I heard. I mean, the Lord, I'm telling you, he's flirting. And I told Jerry, I started laughing. I'm like,
yep.
See, this is the thing. When you have childlike faith, you guys, I have stuff like this happen to me all day long.
Amen.
Okay, there's just
Amen.
Too much to tell. He's good.
Amen.
He's really good. I'm telling you. I'm going to get off the phone now, but I love you guys, and I'm telling you, just keep talking to him and believing him like a child. God rewards faith. And for the people that are still saying, God doesn't talk to me, I'm telling you, he is. He is. Just believe the things that are going on around you are him. Start believing him, and then what you do is I start thanking him for it. You know, I just say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
You're so good. All day long I say it. And,
yes.
And you know, he's good. And see, he rewards faith. See, because you just can't sit there and do nothing. I mean, you don't have to do anything for God, but what I'm saying is the only thing that God requires is that we believe. That's it. That's it. There's no other religion that does that. He does everything else, but you have to give him that. You have to give him your faith. That's the only step you have to make toward God, okay? The rest of my steps toward God are because he directs them. But the only thing that I do is just believe. And I guarantee you I'm not extra special, you guys. We're all extra special. And I'm telling you, he does this kind of stuff with Katie all day. He does it with Joe. He does it with Jerry. He does it with plenty of people here. And I'm not saying this to get you jealous. I'm saying it to tell you. He does
oh, no.
it with Rita. I'm trying to think. He does it with Andre in chat. Today, Andre private messaged me that he saw 14, 41, and 41, 14 twice in one day, and that never happened. And that God speaks to him with those numbers that he's coming now. And that rarely happens. That happened to him today. The Lord is telling us. So I'm going to stop. I'm going to be quiet now, but I'm telling you, if you're still one of those people that's not getting enough flirting, I personally can never get enough. So that's kind of why that's why I'm in the reason that I'm selfish because I told God, you know that I'm selfish because it's because of the joy that you give me, which is why I love you so much. You know, the thing is when I'm selfish for his attention. I'm like a spoiled little child. And you can be too because, see, that's the thing about the Lord. He makes each one of us feel like we're the only one. I don't know anyone who can do that, but
right,
he really makes me feel like I'm his favorite child. But he'll make you feel that way too, and I can't really explain
that's
it because I know he loves us all the same. But when you really get to know him, you guys, you will know how much he loves you. And today he was telling me out of nowhere how much he loves Katie. He's like, I love her so much. He's so proud of her. He said he was with her on the trip, he told me. He goes, oh, I'm so excited about her trip. She's right where I want her to be, you know. And, Katie, God bless you. I'm telling you, God is so pleased with you. You guys are going to have a great time. You know, I believe we're probably leaving in the rapture while you're there. I believe we're leaving in the translation while you're at Joe's. She's there, I think, for 6 days. But, guys, I'm telling you, just believe that God is crazy about you. You'll never be the same. Okay. I'm
oh, no, true.
Love you guys.
Awesome.
Love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy.
Yeah,
I
good stuff last
Chris,
night, yeah.
Chris is
yeah,
on the line. She may be.
Did Marianne?
Chris
Marianne has a
dream. Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, well, I think you're driving, and anyway, so you're on the line, so you can be on the line, or you can just listen whichever you wish.
You have a dream?
Yes. God sends me dreams, and I always know that they're from him because when I wake up, I'm just absolutely on fire, like my spirit is on fire. And I could usually figure them out, even though it may take me a while and I may have to Google some things or check some numbers or something like that. But about 3 nights ago, I had a dream, and there was a crowd of young people next to me. There were about 10 people, and they all had hoodies on. But the weird thing about the hoodies were they were long. They went down to about mid-thigh. They were very thick cotton, and they were all solid colors, but very colorful, very colorful. And I was talking to one girl. She was a kind of shorter girl, 5'4", 5'5", had kind of like dirty blonde hair on. She actually had her hood on over her head. She had big blue eyes. She was kind of like a looking at me like a deer in the headlights look. And I said, well, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And in my spirit, I knew the crowd that she was in were non-believers. And it was very chaotic, this crowd was. And she goes, yes, I do. Yes, I do. But then the attention of the crowd got her again. And she goes, no, I better not. I better not. And I said, no, you have to do that. And she goes, okay, I will. And at about that time, three of the people got up on the back of a flatbed truck like they were going to start, you know, proselytizing or something like that. And the one in the middle was taller than the rest, and he was obviously kind of the head of the group. And he had, and his hood was yellow. Now, this girl's hood was blue, light blue. And then that was the end of the dream. And I have no clue. I don't even know where to start with this dream. The colors mean something. The hoodies mean something. And in my spirit, I feel like this girl, whoever she is, may be like the last one before the full number of the Gentiles come in. There's something in my spirit that tells me that this girl is going to be the last one, you know, to be saved. Does anybody have any revelation to this?
Probably Keith would have something for you.
Is he on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line.
Sure.
You should email it to me, though. Usually I ask God, and then it takes a few minutes sometimes to get something from him on it. And he'll tell me. He'll show me usually a vision, and then I can see what's going on. So since I'm not in a great place to do that right now, email.
Yeah, that's a good
me.
Idea.
You got my email?
No, I don't, but I can get Judy to text it to me. How's that?
Yeah, she can.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Judy can just forward it, dude.
Because usually I'll read it.
Judy can just forward it.
Yeah, Judy can forward it. That's a good idea. I read it and I go, okay, this doesn't make any sense to me, and then I just say, God, what does it mean? And then I read it a second and third time, and then boom, he gives me a vision, and then he'll tell me what it means, and then that's it, and I'll pass it on to you.
Oh, yeah.
It's usually always been accurate and everything. And I've always been, that was a gift that came a year and a half ago, and I have interpreted thousands of dreams for the Lord, and like I said, they've all been accurate. So, yeah, it's just from him. So, but you got to be part of my family club because you're always talking about how great Jerry is, so you're a little bit jealous, so you got to let him know, you know.
Oh, no, it's just that he was connecting. I was
teasing you.
No, Keith, that's not it at all. It was just that the things that he was saying were really connecting. Then that thing about Jonah, you know, his skin being weird, and then I'd had that dream the night before wondering what that stuff was on my left arm, and then he said that dream, and I just freaked out. But the other thing I do share in common with Jerry is that God talks to me in numbers. And I'm going to share a really quick dream that I had a few months ago. I got a new puppy, and in my dream, I went to the veterinarian, and there were two male and two female veterinarians, and we were meeting in their office. And somehow or another, instead of having one new puppy, I had 15, and they were all puppies. And they had done something horrible to these puppies. I mean, they were, like, all macerated and stuff like that. And so, and I said, well, I want $65,000 for what you've done. And I walked out, and of course, John Goodman was sitting in the thing, and he was an attorney, and he said, I think I can get you at least $120,000 or maybe $145,000, and that was the end of the dream. So I thought, okay, the numbers, obviously, the numbers. This was the message. Jehovah is not burdensome. mankind will be in a meadow of dancing. I lift you high. I bless your name into eternity, and I present you with a new mantle.
Mm.
That was what the numbers meant. Is that an unbelievable dream? And it started in the office.
Wow.
But when you talk about numbers, Jerry, I listen to his. Anytime I have a dream with a number in it, I know that it's. I just have to do some research, and he will reveal it to me.
Sure.
But the colors, this new dream, this is a total new dimension for me, and I have no clue how to interpret it.
Keith will help you out, sure.
Yeah.
Sure, you just need a little time.
I have a question, Marianne, about the girl. Was her accepting Jesus in contrast to what the people with the hoods and the light blue were doing?
Oh, yeah, they were non-believers.
Yeah. Okay,
they were
total
non-believers. And you could tell she was timid about it, and she was kind of like on the fence. But she wanted to, but she was afraid of the crowd. It was like she was going to get sucked right back into them unless I was there standing there going like, no, you've got to do it.
That almost sounds like a comeback scenario to me because, I mean, there are people that are in that circumstance right now. So many of the people, you know, here are, you know, challenged like that in their environments. But the people with the hoods means they're – okay, I'm just going to say how it hit me, okay? This is how it hit me. The people with the hoods are the people who conceal their identities. And the light blue is the color, basically, of the UN, and it'll be related to the one world religion. And the chaos, to me, spoke of the time when some of us are taken out of here, and there will be a lot of energy around it, and they're going to try to focus everyone's energy around their one world religion. And this girl knew the other was the way to go, but there was going to be a lot of pressure around her to not do that, and a lot of chaos. So that's the impression I got out of it. And it was almost like if you were there, if you felt like you were there in that presence, it's almost like a comeback scenario where you were going to be working with people in that environment.
Well, that would go along with the dream, the veterinarian dream about the new mammal.
There you go.
Yeah.
That sounds good, Jerry. Yeah. We'll go with Jerry since you're part of his family.
Oh,
we'll
my
go
God.
No,
oh,
Keith.
You're such a tease.
Keith, you're going to, she's going to send you the email and you're going to have to do your homework.
Interpret.
And then, you could say, but that's really just how it really hit me, because obviously the one world religion is under concealment of reality. I mean, they're concealing where they really come from.
I like what you got.
Yes, I like it. But Keith, it'll be up to you to tell me what the bright yellow hoodie was. And you know what? Now that we're talking about mantle.
Wait a minute, I'm getting leftovers after Jerry. I'm getting the whole dream. I'll tell you the whole thing.
But, you know, now that we're talking about mantle, you know what? Maybe those heavy cotton things were more mantles. That just occurred to me. Those are the mantles that they have on.
Hmm.
I definitely like what Jerry got on that. I mean, it sounded, you know, sounded really good. I mean, it sounded like, you know, very possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Usually the dreams are, usually when God gives me meanings of the dreams, usually it'll be something pertaining to what's going on in that person's walk with God, or something going on with these days, usually the end time stuff. So Jerry, what he got was very, you know, very accurate with, you know, that kind of end time stuff. Sure.
Yeah. I always say about dreams that because they're given to a particular person, that the person who really, in the long run, is the best judge of what it is the person who receives it, because they're going to be spoken to that person in their language. Except sometimes, I know in my case, my wife has gotten a couple of dreams that she was moved to tell me, and they had a very specific meaning for me, and she would forget about them. and I, but I never did. And so I know that they, you know, they were given to her, but the message was for me, and that was, I think, a more rare, but a less, but also a very powerful thing for me because of the specific messages in those cases.
I've had dreams too, Jerry, that were messages to other people. And I knew that they were, and, like, I couldn't wait to call them the next morning and tell them. And I would say, I have no idea what this dream means. What does it mean to you? And they would go, oh, my goodness, this is my confirmation or something like that. But I've also had dreams where there was something that was going to happen in the world, like, a few months before it happened. And then when it happened, I would go, oh, my gosh, that's what that dream was about.
Well,
but at the time, it made no sense to me personally or anybody I knew. So my dreams are all over the place.
Yeah.
Like I said, usually when there's one of the two scenarios, but sometimes, you know, one of the scenarios is always whatever specifically going on in their life, and then, you know, that's what I'll see. I'll see into that person's spirit to see how it matches what's going on in the dream. So that's a very common thing. You know, it's usually very specific to what's going on. So, but this one could be either one. But we'll see. Like I said, God will just tell me. And but I do like what Jerry got, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's cool because that's, you know, that's, I'll take that, Keith, because, you know, I don't, you've done it more than I have. I felt like I got a really strong impression about that.
Yeah. I would say that's pretty right on. Pretty good. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, thank you very much.
We'll buy Jerry a T-shirt. He's got a T-shirt if you want to sign up for his program.
Oh, my God.
And you can get his latest whatever.
That's right. Yeah. You can buy those T-shirts at redheaferreadings.com.
Red Heifer, right.
not. Only joking. Anyway, thanks, Marianne, for sharing that. Because,
well, you're welcome.
I'm sure
thank
that
you
helps,
for
helps other you, people.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I know anyone that wants to share a dream, feel free to call in. We always encourage anyone that has dreams or visions or whatever, call in. Visions are usually when you're awake. Dreams are usually when you're asleep. So we always encourage that. So thank you, Marianne, for calling in, and we want people to feel like, you know, even if they're shy or whatever, just call in and tell us this. We'll help them.
That's right.
So I had some stuff last night, but I don't think we have enough time. It's okay. I can do it tomorrow.
We got about 80 seconds.
Yeah,
no,
we have enough time.
Okay.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm going to test my my show studio skills here, if I can find something else.
Good job.
I'm working on it here. Let's see. Let's try this. I'm gonna start a song, but we can talk over it, and we'll just kind of segue out of our time. 60 seconds. No, that's not good. Static.
Love you, Jesus.
Yeah. That's right.
Love you guys.
Love you, Judy. Love
you
all.
Love you
all.
Thank
you
everybody for calling in.
Same
everybody
else.
Love you all.
So be ready. Ready to go out. We love you, Katie.
Today,
love you, Katie. Love you, everybody.
Love you, Katie. I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed now that I understand the total environment you were in.
She almost got arrested. We're driving so fast, and the cop didn't arrest her and everything. That girl out of control today.
Katie, be it. Be at peace, because the contrast from where you are to your environment is very clear.
You'll have peace, honey.
The bride says come.
Anybody that wants to live the show,
Logan
with them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love you all. Love you all. We'll see
you
in the air.
Amen.
It's
Jesus.
His promise.
Tonight.
Amen.
Tonight we go.
Amen.
Praise your voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Amen. Okay.